Thank you so much, Scott. Love that song. One of my favorites. In fact, Vicki and I had that sung at our wedding over 50 years ago, so I've never gotten tired of it. I appreciate that very much. Now, I walked in tonight and I got some bad news. I found out there was a business meeting. I thought, oh man, that's going to eat into my time. I'm going to have trouble getting done on time. But then I got the good news. You've heard the old good news, bad news stories. I got the good news. There's no choir practice, so I can really cut loose. It doesn't matter what the time is, right? I didn't get a big response out of that, so maybe not. Okay. Anyway, I appreciate being in God's house. And to be up here and get to talk about God and to praise God, that is just such a privilege, and I don't take it lightly. But I'm not good at getting done on time. Anyway, so we'll see where it goes. Indescribable Part 2, I want to kind of recap. I had intended to get your first 2 points in the bulletin tonight already filled in and didn't get that accomplished, so I'll give you a quick recap. We're going to be looking tonight in Psalm 33. You can be turning there as well. But we looked at verse 6 in particular, and it just the simple thing that it tells us that God made everything, but the last part of that verse 6 is just incredible, that God breathed out stars. And we talked about our sun seems pretty big, and yet there are stars out there in the heavens that make our sun look like a grain of sand, if even that big. There are just, the universe is incredible. It's beyond measure. And there's billions upon billions upon billions of those things out there. And God literally, it says in verse 6 of Psalm 33, just breathed them out. And so the first point was that we're to praise and worship the star maker. We can look up and see visibly this unbelievable thing that he has done in scattering the universe with suns and planets and moons and all these things. It's just incredible what he has done. And then the second point was just very short and sweet, because it should naturally lead into the fact that the pardoned, you and I who have been redeemed, been pardoned, should be willing to serve. Willing to serve. There just shouldn't be a question about it. And I began the message last week with the idea that in our churches today at large, Universal Church, there just isn't a high enough view of God. We've gotten complacent, maybe a little bit lethargic, and just kind of sitting back and letting things go by. We just don't necessarily have a high enough view of God. And so my goal with these two messages has just been to get us to look at who God is, what he's done, what he is doing. We're going to really look at that tonight and what he is doing. And have our view of God increase. And so if we do that, we're going to be more willing to serve. And we certainly should be. And so leading into tonight, the third point, again, I'm just going to be very brief and short about this first point. Because it's so obvious, there are people waiting to be saved. All around us, everywhere we go, there are people who are lost, they are dying, and they are headed for a Christless eternity. And they're waiting for somebody to tell them. All the surveys that have been done, the statistics tell us that if we would just talk to them, if we would just invite them, if we would just encourage them, be willing to just tell them what Jesus has done in our own life, they want to know. They know they're missing something. They just don't know what it is. And it's up to us to tell them. We need to share that with them. So we need to understand that there are people out there waiting to be saved. And we say, well, it's not my job. Well, please don't say that. Because God says it is, and so if God says it is and somebody says it isn't, guess who's right? It's pretty simple. God is right. It is our job. He gave us that commission. He says we're to go to make disciples. He says that we're ministers of reconciliation. He says we're to be ambassadors for Christ. I mean, that's just a few of the things that he says in Scripture that tells us it is our job to tell people about Jesus Christ. and what he's done for us and what he's done for them. And so there's people that need to hear that. Our community is full of children that are headed for a Christless eternity. And they have parents, most of whom are headed the same direction. They need us to tell them. God's plan A is that we do that. And there is no plan B. Plan B would indicate that plan A, if there was a plan B, it would indicate that plan A might not work. God does not implement a plan that won't work. It will work. It does work. We need to realize there are people waiting to be saved. So if we're afraid to do it, if we think we're not strong enough to do it, what do we need to understand? What do we need to know so that we will be more willing to serve? We will have a higher view of God. We will go tell people about Jesus. Well, the fourth point, and this is where I really want to dig in tonight, is that his power will sustain us. God's power. Now remember, he's the one who breathed out these billions upon billions of stars. All right? God is all powerful, and that same power will sustain us. Now, I want to share a couple of ways he does that before we look at some more verses in Psalm 33 and really get into this. But in this massive universe that God has made, there's a miracle that to me is even, you know, crazier to think about. It's more of a jaw dropper than the size of any star. And you saw how big some of those are. Even though you and I are just really a vapor, we're tiny, we're frail, we are marked by majesty. You and I are marked by majesty. We have been created in the very image of that same God who literally breathes out stars, made in his image. The Bible says we're fashioned and formed and are ordained by the God of creation. I mean, that should just lift us up and thrill us and encourage us. And the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about this. Think about this all-powerful God that we've been talking about, and that we've been created in his image, fearfully and wonderfully made. That's just incredible. But we looked at great big things last week. We're going to look at itty bitty things this week. We're going to go to extremes here. And I want to mention just a couple of things about God's greatness that I hope will excite you. And then we're going to look at Psalm 33 again. I want to talk about DNA. Everybody loves DNA, right? I hope you do. That's what you're made up of. That's what determines everything about who you are. The DNA, this is just a simple little thing about DNA. If you took all the DNA in our bodies, every bit of it, and you put it in and stretched it out straight, because it's all curled up in those cells, you straightened it all out, it would reach. You ready for this? Better hang on to something. It would reach from the sun to Pluto. Isn't that pretty amazing? I'm not done yet. It would reach from the sun to Pluto 15 times. That's some 3.7 billion miles. Keep in mind, our bodies are made up of trillions upon trillions of cells. So of all those cells in our body, there's around 100,000 of them that die about every second or so and are replenished. They're constantly dying and being replenished. You know, if you needed an excuse, it's no wonder we're tired all the time. I mean, look what's going on in our bodies constantly, all the time. So it's just no wonder that we're tired. We're doing amazing stuff. But there's another miracle that I want to share with you. And I want to show you a picture of a baby about 5 months in the womb. Have we got that one, Tom? Yeah, look at that, man. Now there's the good old days, all right? Okay, that's the good old days. But I want you to understand that at this point in development, about 5 months, that there are about 1 million optic nerve cells that leaves the right optic nerve center. And there's about a million more optic nerve endings that leave the other side. So you've got a million on the right and a million on the left. And they have to find each other, and not just anyone going to anyone. They have to find the exact match. And this is all happening about the 5-month period. And all those approximately a million have to all match up. And when that happens, sight is then possible, but the baby can't see yet, because if you noticed in that picture, the eyes still have skin over them. They're still covered. Well, about 6 months, a teeny little cutting device suddenly springs out and it cuts a perfect line right across both eyes. And suddenly we have eyelids and they can open and the ability to see is there. Did you know that right now, right this very moment on this planet, that the human eye is the most technologically advanced thing on this planet? Scientists still don't know exactly how it works. They know a lot about it, but they really don't know how it works. But think about this incredible, all-powerful, all-knowing God who's put all this together, who's created us in His image, telling us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's just, He is so incredible. This indescribable God, and here's where we want to really begin to dig in, thinking about all these different things that God is doing with the huge things and the little bitty things. This indescribable God has made a promise, to each one of us. He says that He will literally hold all those who put their trust in Him in the palm of His hand for life. And Psalm 33 is going to talk about some of this. So we've looked at our star-breathing God in verse 6, but let's zero in on verse 9. Psalm 33, verse 9, it says, "For He spoke, and it was done." Think about that now. He spoke. He just spoke the word, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Look at verse 11. It says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever." It cannot be undone. It cannot change. But now he gets personal. We'll look down to verse 13. It says, "The Lord looks down from heaven and observes everyone." He's watching. He's watching you and me. It says in verse 14, "He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from His dwelling place. He alone shapes hearts. He considers all their works." Drop down to verse 18. He says, "Now the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who depend on His faithful love to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine." Right now, and we know this is true, Richard mentioned the storms and all that have gone through and are continuing on to come through. In this world, there are hurting people. There are people whose lives are literally spinning out of control. They don't know which end's up. They're having so many obstacles in their way. And to each and every one of them, God is saying, "I am a universe maker and a heart shaper." That's what He's told us in these verses that we've looked at from last week and now tonight. He says, "I know your name." He says, "I know the circumstances that you're in," and He promises that no matter how difficult the road might get, how dark the night might seem at times, that He'll hold you together through anything that comes your way. That's a promise that He makes to those that trust Him, that follow Him. You say, "Well, you know, that's good, that's well and good, and I can say up here that I believe that I really believe it's true." And yet when we get in the midst of those troubles, those problems, those obstacles that seem insurmountable, sometimes we may wonder, and certainly others that we know may wonder, is it really true? Does He really know what's going on in my life right now? Am I important enough that He really cares about what's going on in my life right now? Well, I hope that by digging a little deeper here tonight, you're going to find out and understand with full confidence, and also able to share with others with full confidence, that is exactly the case, that He does know exactly what's going on. And I want to do that by talking to you about a little protein molecule. Oh, aren't you excited now? Boy, I just saw people just sitting up straighter. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just the lights in my eyes. This little protein molecule called, are you ready for it? Laminin. Nothing? You're not already excited? Well, okay, I'll admit I felt that way the first time I heard it. I heard it and I thought, I'm not going to like this. This is science. But just wait. Laminin, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of details about it, but you can look it up. I've done this numerous times because it's just so unbelievable. Laminin is called a cell adhesion protein molecule. And I guess most simply put, it's like glue, okay? I won't give you, there's these unbelievable numbers about how many there are. Our body's got trillions of this and millions of that, billions of other things, that cells and molecules and all these things. I get confused with all the numbers anyway. But this laminin is like glue. It's like, one example I saw was like rebar is to concrete. It holds it all together. That's what laminin does in our cells. Our organs, our skin, everything, it's held together by this adhesion molecule called laminin. So are you excited yet? I'm still not seeing any jumping up and down or carrying on. You're not? Okay. Again, I'll admit, I wasn't either until I saw it. And then, man, I looked at this thing and I said, that's laminin? And man, I got so excited. I literally couldn't believe what I was seeing. I thought, man, I just love laminin, man. I'm all fired up. What's wrong? Yeah, y'all not get. I just realized something. Maybe you need to see it too. Nod your head. You want to see laminin? I've got a scientific drawing of laminin. Tom, let's show them. I've had them on edge long enough. Let's show them a scientific picture of laminin. This is a literal, this is the actual textbook scientific drawing of laminin. It's holding your body together right this moment. Think about that. This is holding your body together. It's the glue that keeps everything from falling apart. Are you starting to get a little bit excited now? You suppose there's any coincidence as to why it looks like this in this scientific drawing? This is literally incredible, and I'm going to show it to you in Scripture in just a moment. You want to see something even more amazing? Nod your head. Okay, I've got an actual microscopic picture of a laminin molecule, an actual picture, and it looks like this. That is a microscopic picture of an actual laminin cell in the shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a very big believer at all in coincidence. And it brings into special focus Paul's words in Colossians 1. I want you to keep that picture in mind, and I want you to listen to what Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15. And I want you to hold on to your seat before we get through with what I'm going to read, or you'll just be jumping up and down. It says of Jesus Christ, it's talking about Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Last week we talked about the visible, and tonight we're talking about the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And look at verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. Well, of course they do. Everything holds together through Jesus Christ. This chapter goes on. Colossians goes on. It talks about, he tells the story of grace. He says, God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Christ, And through Christ, he reconciles all things to himself. He does this by making peace through his blood that was shed on that cross that Jesus hung on. So when you're at your toughest place in life, how can you know that God, all-powerful creator God, is going to hold you together and bring you through? You know because there's a cross standing over history. The place where the star breather became the sin bearer, where the universe maker became mankind's savior. The proof that the cross is proof that he doesn't always change the circumstances. We know he doesn't, but it's also proof that he always has a purpose in all those circumstances. So I want to close tonight with a question, or by proposing a question. It's found in a very interesting chapter in the Bible, and it's in Isaiah 40. It's a chapter that we're most of us are quite familiar with, one verse in particular, but it talks about our indescribable God, our all-powerful, indescribable God, creating the heavens, and talking about the stars. Remember how many stars there are? Billions upon billions upon billions. And guess what? God knows every single one of them by name. But it doesn't say they're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says we are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Look, Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 26. He says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. But then he asked Israel a question, because Israel has been complaining that he doesn't care about their circumstances. Maybe he doesn't even know about them. Maybe he doesn't care about what's going on in their lives. And he says to them, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? In other words, they're saying they thought God had just completely lost sight of them. They knew, and God is talking about what they do know. They knew God was big enough to have created all the heavens. They knew that he knew them all by name. And yet, they've been complaining that God doesn't care about what they're going through. We'll bring that forward to us now, today, and others that we know. We say, well, I know Christ died on the cross for my salvation. And yet, even though we say we know that, we remember, we've stated it, we've learned it, we say we know it, sometimes when things get tough, when obstacles seem insurmountable, you might wonder, does he see me right now? Does he know what I'm going through? Does he know that what I'm going through right this very moment, that I can barely take the next step? Does he know that my burden is just so heavy? I feel like it's about to weigh me down. Does he care? Can he do anything? We want to know those things. And that's what Isaiah is telling us about here, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things. Isaiah answers with another question. And it's for us right here, right now as well. Verse 28, he goes on and he says, two questions. He says, God is saying to them, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He's huge. He's the star breather. Listen to what God loves to do. Verse 29, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. God is saying to each and every one of those who follow him, those who trust him, he's saying, I will hold you together. You're in the palm of my hand, and I will literally hold you together. I'm there for you. So you can keep on waiting, and that's the Bible tells us to wait on the Lord and to keep on hoping, and that's not wishing it might happen. That's a confidence that in God's time it will happen. And there are millions of microscopic crosses in us holding us together, and there's one glorious cross of our Lord Jesus Christ also holding us together. We need to keep this in mind. We need to let our view of God just climb by huge leaps and bounds. There will never be a time for those trusting in him that he will not hold us together. That's his promise, both from the visible world and the invisible world, as Paul talked about. That's his promise to his children. Be encouraged. Don't hinder your view of God growing to the maximum possible. And then tomorrow do it again, and the next day do it again, and keep on doing it. Let's talk to the star breather. Father, thank you for your amazing, incredible, beautiful word that you have given to us, that you've shared with us. You have shown us so many things about who you are, about the things that you do, about the promises that you've made. Lord, that our view of you would know no bounds. Because so that we would understand that we can't think too highly of you. And that we would just fall more and more in love, more willing to serve, therefore more willing to share. And Lord, understand that we are sustained by you, held together by you, and sent forth to spread the glorious news of who you are and what you've done for us. Thank you for each one here tonight, Lord. Take this message and use it as you see fit. Lord, ingrain these words in our minds and in our hearts, and may we go forth to serve you in boldness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.